Paradise Valley Mall and Chandler Fashion Center.
Education. Entertainment. It's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It is the Data Doctors here, having fun with computers and technology and some interesting things for you time travelers.
Yes?
Mark your past and future.
Future.
Hello! Rented lips. Mark your past and future calendars, Phantom Tollbooth devotees. This comes from CNET. A time traveler convention being billed as the first, last, and only convention of its type. Will reportedly take place at MIT's East Campus Courtyard on Saturday, May 7th. That would be today.
First, last, and only.
Right, but I don't have to, you know, even if you didn't get this message until after the event, if you're a time traveler, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, who cares?
Right.
Big deal.
Technically, only one such convention is needed, the press release points out, as time travelers from all eras could meet at a specific place and time and then make as many repeat visits as they wanted. So,
well, it would be like the same thing over and over again, though, if you kept repeating back to the same thing, right?
Right, right. And they realize that this is kind of a last minute notice. So if you're busy if you're busy today and can't make it, don't worry. You can always attend in 4678. All you time travelers, that's for you.
And this is at MIT.
Yes, of course.
In Boston.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, you don't need more than one event, right? Because,
you know, I'm going to have to call our guys out at our store out there in Boston.
Yeah.
And say, hey, run down there real quick and see if there's any really, really old guys there.
Well, but you better wait till after the store closes so they don't, you know, so they can always go back and attend.
I'm confused. You know what's interesting is I made mention accidentally about if you wanted to listen to previous shows, you could get in your 88-mile-per-hour DeLorean and go back in time and see that tied in, but without even planning.
Well, we're talking.
No one cares.
We're talking digital music today. It is pretty pervasive these days. Even Grandma and Grandpa out there are starting to figure out they can take their old music collection and convert it to these electronic forms. And
go back in time and listen to the music they used to listen to.
Or you basically capture a digital image so that, you know, even if you have the old vinyls records, you can actually convert those over to MP3 and what have you. But the real question is, if you want to download music, where do you download music from? And if you want to visit the resources we have on our website, we've got lots of information, but give you an overview. The first thing you want to do is think about, well, what happens after I download the music? Am I only going to play it on the computer and maybe burn a few CDs? Because if that's all you're going to do, it doesn't really matter who you go with.
Right.
But if you went out and spent a couple hundred large, no,
a couple of smooth stones?
Yes. You spent some money on a portable music player, and you intend to download music to put into that portable music player. You might want to do some homework before you start buying the music.
Depending on the brand you bought and the way it's set up and the way it works, and something called digital rights management.
DRM.
Yeah. These things all can factor in and play into the choice you make, in that if you choose one type of service, you might be locked down to those music downloads only being allowed to be played on that device versus other services that might let you have a little bit more freedom in those things.
Well, if you want to make sure that it's fairly easy, if you're a non-technical person and you have one of these devices, what I highly recommend you do is before you start downloading from a particular service, usually they'll have a compatibility list. They'll have a list of devices that they have very easy, smooth transition from the download through the synchronization to your music device. Look into that unless you're very technical and understand how to get around all those things. You know what? If you don't want all that trouble, do your homework before you start the download. One of the surprising things I found in researching this story, I mean, I always knew Walmart was a music downloading facility. I mean, they actually got into this game fairly early on.
They do that. They rent DVDs like all those other places. Yep. Now they have the clubs. They, you know, of course, they have some stores I've seen once or twice.
But Walmart.com, you can actually download music files. And right now, I think it's the cheapest I've seen from the majors. It's 88 cents a song. It's 11 cents cheaper. I believe it's 12% cheaper than iTunes and these others.
And the other guys that are charging 99 cents?
Yeah, cause so you if you bought... If
I think it's 124.3%
I think it's
less.
Buy 11, get one free. You see?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Or something, I don't know.
We're real good at math, as you can tell.
No.
So that turns out to be one of the best prices. And what about their selection?
Selection was pretty amazing. That's the other thing, is you need to look at what libraries are available. Now, that having been said, you don't have to buy from just one source. It's just what happens when you buy from multiple sources. How do you get all of that stuff in? What are the limitations on the way that the My Music software synchronizes My Music Player? For instance, in its default setting, the iPod will wipe out whatever's on the iPod and update it with whatever the library is in your iTunes software.
Sweet!
So unless you don't know how to turn off that or change that setting, you're, you know, if you went to your buddy's house and you synced up your iPod with his music library and then came home thinking, well, now I'm going to add my music library to his music library, you got to know how to do that. It's not something that's... They purposely make it very difficult to do that because they don't want to encourage pirating.
So maybe you can think about something other than an iPod then, perhaps.
Maybe.
There's a couple other brands out there that are starting to make some headway against Apple, who, of course, dominates that market, but you can check those things out.
We don't have
links to those kinds of things, but if you just do little searches, I can tell you that the three big brands that are kind of out there, Apple makes, of course, the iPod and the iPod Shuffle and various versions of those. Creative Labs, who is the big sound card manufacturers, they make a different line of things.
They call it
the Zen.
Where's my gong? Right?
Right.
Now, if you do yoga, I mean, you would think that you'd have to have a music player.
You would think.
Called Zen.
Yes.
You would think.
They make the Zen, and they make a couple other different devices, the Muvo.
Yeah.
We got files for everything here.
For sure.
And, of course, then the third, which is kind of starting to make a comeback, Rio, who's been bought and resold and bought and resold, they're making things that look a lot different than everybody else's MP3 players. They're trying to play with ergonomics, and they're kind of taking a gamble. But the players, they have larger screens in general, and the button positioning and things looks very strange, but works very nicely in your hand. So they're kind of out there doing something. They're resurfacing, and they got really good pricing on some things. So those are kind of the big three.
Yeah, check all that out. You can go to CNET's hardware review or product review section, CNET.com. You see a lot of information on the current MP3 players. Shall we go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones and see if we can help someone like Bob.
Bob, welcome to the Computer Corner. Thanks for holding.
Just taking my call. I appreciate it. I've got two small issues here. Hopefully they're small. I've got a new HP Pavilion Media Center computer, so this has only been happening since I got the computer.
Well, let's stop for a second and explain to the fine folks out there what a Media Center PC does different from a regular PC.
Well, it actually has the capability of being able to take your digital photos and digital camcorder things and just plugging it right into the front of the computer and, you know, being able to make movies and DVDs. And
it's got a TV tuner built in, right?
It's got a TV tuner built in. You can make your, you know, record your own shows, kind of like TiVo.
Yeah, kind of like TiVo. It's not near as clean and easy, but it is definitely there to be able to make digital copies of those videos. Okay, so you've got this PC on steroids.
Yes, and what's been happening since I got the PC is I got Cox high-speed cable, and every time I try to open Internet Explorer, I get a little small box on the screen that says, I don't have it in front of me, says something like to the effect of no Internet connection is currently available, and it gives me an option of working offline or try again.
Okay.
And when I click try again, it goes right onto the Internet.
Isn't that special?
It's just really being just a pain in the butt.
This is not connected through a wireless connection by any chance, is it?
Yes, it is.
Aha!
That's the second part of my issue, but I want to deal with the first part first.
Well, we probably want to deal with the second part first because I bet you if we deal with number two first, number one goes away.
Okay, well, number two only has been happening for the last 24 hours. I had no problem with my wireless connection going and working with my notebook, which is on the other part of the... connection, except for, and it's all Netgear. As of yesterday, it says my signal strength, you know, down the tray there is very low, and the little icon in the tray that shows a little computer screen is flashing between red and yellow, and occasionally green.
Now, this is on your Media Center PC?
No, this is on the other, the notebook, which is the, you know, as the other computer I'm using with my wireless connection.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I got this straight. The notebook was just dandy until a couple of days ago or yesterday, and then suddenly the signal's getting real weak on you.
Right.
Now, does that have any bearing on where you're at in the house? When you get close to the thing, is it still real weak?
You know, I moved it around my family room. It's the signal seem to change a little bit and get a little bit stronger as I got closer to the PC. I did not take it right into the other room with the PC, but it seemed like the signal was varying, yes. But up until yesterday, I could have it anywhere in the house, and I would get just an incredibly wonderful...
How well do you know your neighbors? How well do you, are you acquainted
with...
Okay.
I don't.
You know what? This is a great time to go out and meet all your neighbors.
What you want to ask them is... Perhaps did they get any kind of wireless network stuff in the last couple of days?
You know, I had somebody just move in next door, and that's very possible that they did, huh?
Yeah, tell them that the Homeowners Association does not allow wireless networks in this neighborhood.
Except for you.
No. Right, yeah. No, they don't have to know you have one. Just tell right. them you need to shut yours off. See, what happens is the wireless networks operate on an unregulated frequency. So not only can other wireless access points impact you, cordless phones can, microwave ovens can, I believe vernal equinox.
People concentrating really hard.
Yes, telekinesis. These are all things that...
Some things you can try to do to see if you can improve the situation. Number one, try changing channels. And if you're not real familiar with the technical innards of your access point and your network cards, your wireless network cards, you might have to get a little help. But basically... Right. There are 11 different channels, generally.
Or more, right. depending upon what you have.
And you can choose from those. And by default, guess what? If you buy the stuff and by default plug it in and your neighbor does, by default everybody's got the same stuff, well, you're going to be running into each other. So you can try playing with those channels and seeing if you can't get better reception.
Like if you're channel 6 is the default for most equipment. Now they're starting to get smart, and now they're making the default like channel 1 or channel 11.
I think it's 11 on mine.
Yeah, so try going the opposite direction. Go all the way down to 1, which would get you as far away from 11.
I didn't even realize I could actually change the channels.
We're not sure you can either.
Okay.
We're sure it can be done.
Yes. Now, whether you can do it or not.
Okay.
Because this requires, are you ready? This is very technical. It requires reading... the manual.
Oh, okay. I'll try that. I believe I saved that.
Yeah. And if you didn't, you can actually, most people don't realize, you can download the manual from the manufacturer's website, usually in a PDF form, and print it out. Yeah.
I am aware of that.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you change whatever setting you put on one device, all devices have to match that.
Now, are you...
The channels on my PC and the channel on everything has to be the same.
Well, PC will generally seek it out looking and usually automatically find the channel that it's broadcasting on based on the name that you gave it. Now, are you one of these really good guys, really smart guys that uses encryption?
No.
Oh, so you're wide open, and so your neighbor actually doesn't even need to set up a network. They can just...
Yeah, he doesn't even need to pay for high-speed internet, then. He can use yours.
I heard your show last week on security, and that's the next issue I want to deal with, and I'm not going to waste your time on that.
The reason I was asking is if you set the security at its highest level, sometimes that will have an impact on connectivity. Okay. I was going to suggest just you quickly disable the security to see if the connection... seems to be more consistent. That'll tell you, okay, I've got to work on that end of the setup.
Here's some final advice for you, Bob. Work on one thing at a time. I would try to get this signal strength issue resolved first. Once you've got that working and you're pretty satisfied that that's now happening, then the next thing to do is come back and add some security to that. And in that same manual you're going to read, it'll tell you how to do that too.
Do you have a cordless phone in your house?
I do.
You do? Well, that you might want to play around with that to see if that's having an impact on it as well. You know, just... click the talk button a couple times and see if that has an impact.
I will do that.
And if all else fails, go wired.
Yeah, no kidding.
there is now, going back to your media center PC, do we even have time for this, Brandon?
After the break we do.
Okay, hang tight. I'm going to give you real quick. You know what, just if you don't have a connection, you're going to get that error from the first side. So that, I'm sure it's all due to the same problem.
All
so.
Interrelated in some
like
way or another.
We're way late for a break, aren't we?
We are way late for a break, but that's okay, because Brian's putting up with us, which is good.
Yeah!
And I don't know what else. What are we talking about?
We're talking about digital music.
I'm so out of it today.
Really?
I don't know what happened. I think I need more.
Yes. Well, while Brandon's recaffeinating, this is Ken and Matt. Going to come back to you with some more information about digital music downloads and cell phones.
And I'll wake up, I promise.
Yes.